everybody, and welcome to Best HP Fans. I am a fan of podcasts. This is episode 4? I think so, 4? Yeah, episode 4 of the podcast. And this week we have a lot for you, and a lot of you have been waiting for this. And I'm sorry it's taken so long. It's about a week now since the recording of I got to meet Cassandra Clare and get an interview with her, and I had somebody with me too. Or Cassandra, people keep telling me different names for Cassandra or Cassandra. I'm sorry if I get that not correct saying the way she says it, but a lot of people call her Cassie, so. But I got to meet her, and it was awesome. Oh my gosh, I was so excited. At first, I didn't even know I was going to interview him until about 2 days before the event, so that gave me almost no time to do anything for it. I mean, seriously, I only got to do was Twitter about it and ask people for questions. By the end, I was just grabbing anything, and I ended up meeting someone from the press, and she does the Examiner for her work. And so I brought her into the interview because she had amazing questions that you guys probably want to answer better than my questions, which were not as great when I looked at them later on. And I was like, that's not going to work out. So I ended up scratching my questions and brought her with me, and we both went in and asked her these questions. And we'll get to that in a bit. But first, a couple updates on the podcast. My site, you can check it out, it's www.besthpfan, which is besthpfan, .webs, which is webs.com, and that's my website, and there you can check out anything I've done so far. I haven't put up yet any of the pictures from the event, from the Smart Chicks tour, which she was at, and also some of the other authors like Melissa Marr and Allison Noel and Holly Black. And there's so many authors there, I can't even say them. Actually, honestly, there wasn't even enough time for all of them. Even the Q&A with all the fans that were there, they ran out of time, honestly. There was not enough time for all of them. And there was a lot of people there, too. We're going to go through the video audio of that. And then that'll be part one. And part two of this podcast is also when I got to meet Jamie Lee Curtis for her book, which is a little kid's book. It's like, you know, color pictures and everything. She came by, and I got to go cover that as well. And she got to read her book and talk to little kids, and it was so cute, the little kids. First of all, we're going to start off with Q&A from the talking with the fans, with the authors. Now, this audio is not the best audio I have. It's because they didn't have mics with them, so they actually had to shout it out loud to everybody. So because they didn't have mics, the audio of their voices is really hard to understand. And I'm sorry if it's really hard and you're trying to listen to it, but it's the best I could get. Because I even had it right there above everybody to get, but due to like the kind of area it was, their voices did not carry out to everybody, and like half the people there didn't even hear what they said. So this is the best I could get. And if you don't want to listen to it, or you know, you're not going to try to, because when you first hear it, you're going to understand exactly what I mean. You can skip ahead, actually. I think skip to 35 minutes, 35.35, and that will send you about exact amount at the end of it. So just skip there if you want to. If not, then continue listening. So I'll see you back after the audio, and I hope you enjoy what is part of the audio I could get. And after this audio, you'll get the interview audio after that, but we'll talk about that after this one. So I hope you enjoy it, and try to run out of time so you can get exactly 35:35. And here we go.
Video.
Up here always has news, so please give us any news.
I'm from Claire.
Yeah!
comes out in paperback today. It's a Southern Gothic paranormal romance, and the sequel, Beautiful Darkness, comes out on October 12th. But there is a preview in the back of the recap.
I'm French. extreme personalities. They get to be much crazier,
and you know all their perks and
I should yell it out?
No, I just want to say hi.
She wants to say hi.
We have a question.
Go on. What is it? Tell your question.
It's a little long.
Go for it.
Come on out. Come on out.
Two more and then move to lightning round. So we will get in. what if this happened? And in my world, this usually involves things like zombies.
I never wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a painter. And I was a painter and a teacher. I taught Dorothy's daughters, which is how we met. And we wrote the Creatures on a Dare from Mark Musil's daughter. We never intended to write a book or publish a book. We just wanted to win a bet.
What did you
give
my daughter?
You can have
believe in being in
Okay, guys, I know. You're thinking, what the hell? That wasn't 35-35. It was like 35... almost 40. But yeah, try to get as close as possible to the amount. But anyway, welcome back to those who watched the audio. And hello, everybody who skipped ahead. So we're going to continue on. This is the awesome part. This is the part where I get to give you the interview audio. Now, this audio, I really enjoyed getting to meet her finally, and Cassie, I'll call her Cassie, but you know it's Cassandra. Cassie, she was really, really nice. I loved her, and she would answer almost any question, and if you follow on Twitter, she does, you can see just from that too, which we also talked about that on an interview. Now, I brought a friend in too, so you get to see her talk, interview her more than me, because her questions were better than mine, but you'll hear me anyway. So yeah, we all were there, the three of us. We had to actually go to a separate room because the actual interview room was too loud for audio. Yeah, because there was most of the people there, most of the press were all video, and mine was audio for you guys. So we had to move a different room, and that's why I really didn't get to interview directly with any other of the authors, because we ran out of time. And the authors were video recording with other press. And yeah, it just, we ran out of time, you know. It only gave us about 20 minutes to be in the press room before the event started. So it was running to the press, getting to interview her, and trying to do that. But I tried to get the audio from their interviews with the videos with the other people. But right now, when I was going to put it on here, but when I reviewed it, listened to it later on, there was too much noise. There was too many people talking at the same time. There was one interview going somewhere, another interview somewhere else, and then two people were talking on the side next to me. So I had to scratch both clips of video that had their interviews and them talking about their work. So sorry, guys. But if you really, really want it, just... I guess, message me on my website, and I'll email you those, but for now, I'm not posting them on this podcast, because it's not worth it. Well, not worth it, but it's not worth listening to. It's too much noise. It hurts your ears. It's going to hurt my ears. When I would try to listen to it, it hurt, so we're just going to leave it at that. So here's the audio, though. On a happy note, is that I want to go play you this audio because it's awesome. I mean, if you love her work, you're going to want to hear this. This is amazing. So I'm going to stop rambling and let you finally hear it. And here is the audio with the interview with me. One of my friends, don't remember her name. I'm sorry if you're listening to us. I'm sorry if you're really listening to us. But I left the info at home before when I was recording this, so I don't have it with me right now. But I will post her website in the info for the podcast, so you can check out her site also. And she's in this interview, so here we go. Interview with me, her, and Cassie, who's the author of the series of City of the Bones, City of Ashes, City, you know, all of those, and Clockwork Angel. Well, anyway, you know which books, because, you know, yeah, just enjoy.
Recap. What inspires you with the characters, like especially like Jace and Will, since they're ancestors, there seem to be like those similar personality quirks?
Well, I knew that I wanted Will to be an ancestor of Jace's for a particular plot purpose. And so I started to think about what that would mean in terms of his relation to Jace. And I decided that what I wanted out of Will was a commentary on Jace. Mm-hmm. Will is always acting in the first book. Everything that he does is a persona that he has put on, and his persona mm-hmm. is basically Jace. But what Will is actually like, we really don't know except in really brief glimpses that we get. So when we do mm-hmm. get to know him better, he's going to be different. And he's going to be different, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see the ways in which he is similar to Jace and the ways in which that he is different. And like Gabriel Lightwood, Well, it was also fun for me, even though he appears only briefly in the first book, but he will be more in the second book, because he's the absolute opposite of Alec. Like, I was just like, we're going to go other direction, where Alec is shy, he is forward, where Alec is sweet, he is obnoxious and mean, where Alec and Jace are best friends, Gabriel and Will hate the guts out of each other. So that was fun, too, in a different way.
Okay. This is one of the fan Twitter people. How do you juggle life and writing?
Well, it's been extremely difficult this past couple of months because I committed myself to this crazy writing schedule. I'm not sure why I thought it was a good idea of, like, basically we're going to get a book like every 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not normal for publishing, so it's very fast. And Simon & Schuster is cooperating by crushing everything really tightly on their end in terms of production. Everything gets turned around really fast so we can get things out as quickly as possible.
Are you touring with every book?
I'm basically touring with every book, but we're trying to keep the momentum going with both series. On top of that, I'm getting married in 2.5 weeks. So every time I tell people that, they're like, why are you here? I'm like, well, trying to balance work and life, and it's a little bit difficult. So I'm trying to teach myself the magical word no. Because I usually say yes to everything book related, because it always sounds like fun. Do you want to go to this convention? Yes. Do you want to, like, do the school visit? Yes. So I've now taped the word no over my phone to remind me that anything that isn't directly, you know, that isn't writing or touring isn't something I'm going to be doing.
Okay. How did you get the idea for Infernal Devices and the idea for the Clockwork Army?
Ooh, God,
which it was, by the way.
The Clockwork Army was fun. I was in England, actually promoting for City of Ashes. And I was walking over Blackfriars Bridge, which features heavily in Clockwork Angel as a landmark, and I was with a good friend of mine whose name is actually Clary. I named the character after her, and she was telling me about the history of the bridge, and I had this sudden image in my head of a boy and a girl in, like, Victorian era clothes standing in the middle of the bridge, and, like, you can see St. Paul's in the background, and, like, this clockwork army kind of... I had that in mind, like, these sort of spindly metal creatures, like, advancing on them from one end of the bridge, and they didn't see them, so it was very ominous. And so the image stuck with me. And when I got home, I wrote it down, and I still have the notes, you know, I was like, Clockwork Army, ? You know, characters, ? Right? You know, Mortal Instruments prequel? Maybe. You know, kind of thing. And, like, literally, it was just, like, a couple of sketchy notes, and then out of that, I sort of developed the larger plot. So, in fact, my first image was Tessa and Jem. I didn't even think of Will until later.
Oh, funny. All right. What inspired you to write Clockwork Angel after City of Glass?
I had actually already sold Clockwork Angel to Simon & Schuster before City of Ashes came out.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I didn't decide to write it after City of Glass. I decided to write it after City of Bones. Well, I thought, okay, well, I'll be wrapped up with the Mortal Instruments story, and what am I going to do next? I'm still really in love with this world. I had so much work creating it and creating all of this mythology and the characters and their backstories, and, you know, I don't want to leave the world, but I'm done with these characters, so what do I do? And I thought a prequel.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's a silly question, so I'm going to skip and go back.
I read the question.
I promise, the Twitter people.
You can ask me whatever.
In your opinion, what are the 5 most important things in life and the 5 most important things for success?
Okay, that's silly. Let's go to the next one.
What's your favorite color?
I'm like, boxers or briefs? And I was like, I can take that. I've done that one before.
Is there anything or any advice that you wish someone would have told you before you started writing books and got into the publishing industry?
I guess I would say that one of the best things you can do for yourself is to find a critique group of people, ideally more than one, but at least a critique partner, someone who likes the same things you do, is on the same page with you, so that you have someone to bounce your ideas off of. Mm-hmm. And when you get stuck, you have someone to talk to. It's like AA, you need a sponsor.
And isn't your critique partner Holly Black?
Holly Black is my critique partner.
Cool.
Yeah,
I left out the critique partner stakes, right?
I know.
I'm starting to read her books next. Okay, this is for all the Nate haters out there. Yes.
Like, I mean, okay, he's able. Yeah, that's fine.
Will he ever come around, or will he at some point get his comeuppance?
Oh, are those the only options? Nate resurfaces, unsurprisingly, in book two. And is he sorry for anything he's done? Now, let's just say Nate resurfaces in book two and plays an important and kind of unexpected role. He is trying to play both sides. He's trying to play the Clave off Mortmain. Mm-hmm. So he really has loyalty to nobody. With the fun thing about a character like that is that they're a loose cannon. You never know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. And probably fun to write.
I enjoy writing Nate. He is a snake in the grass.
Mm-hmm. Okay, favorite country you've toured on? You've toured in?
Ooh. I don't want to insult any countries that I've toured in.
Let's just say
I love touring in England because I can combine my research with my touring.
Makes sense. All right, who is a better fighter and who would win, Will or Jace?
Jace.
I don't even have thought to that.
Will Tessa play an important role in the next round of the Mortal Instruments?
It's interesting that so many people think so. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say no, not an important role.
All right. And how do you manage your social media?
Oh, it's getting a little overwhelming. I do it all myself. Like, my Facebook page is really my Facebook page. My Twitter is really my Twitter. I do all of it. I devote a certain amount. I basically schedule a certain amount of time for it, and it's usually about 2 hours a day. I have to finish my word count for the day before I'm allowed to, like, spend too much time foodling around on social media. But I do think it's important because I think it keeps you connected to your fan base. I think it keeps you getting the word out about stuff. I mean, I think the word, like, really the way that the word gets out about events like this is all of us doing our social networking and media stuff, as well as obviously the outreach that the bookstore does is important. But I think the impact of us being able to reach directly toward our fans is more and more important as social networking grows.
Well, I've got to say, I was just amazed at how quick you got back to me when I first got, I was super excited as a fan and a writer to first get this gig with Examiner. When I sent you an email before I even had the official press release, I got the job. You got back to me, like, I think it was within 1 day, and I was expecting 3 weeks at best. I was shocked.
Yeah, clearly I have nothing better to do. I go through my email and I star everything that's important, and I'm like, I'll get this back to this in a day. And fan mail I am behind on. I have about 350 in my queue that I haven't answered yet, and I try, like, you know, I skim them all, and I'm like, is this of deathly importance, or is this, you know, a thank you so much, I really appreciate you, like my books, or is this you found a typo in my book, well, thank you so much for letting me know, please give me your address so I can send you a special gift.
Oh my gosh.
Do you spend more on your Twitter or more of your email?
Email takes more time. Twitter, one of the benefits of Twitter is that it's short.
It's instant, because I follow, and man, it's like, wow, she talks a lot.
I tweet a lot. Actually, I didn't used to. I swore to myself I would never get on Twitter, and then I found out someone was pretending to be me on Twitter. There was a fake Cassandra Clare, and I just looked her up.
Gosh.
She wasn't doing such a bad job of answering questions. And I was like, I could just leave it, you know. But I got an email from an editor and she was like, it's so great that you're on Twitter. I've enjoyed our conversation. I was like, okay, that's disgusting.
Weird.
Like,
that's
too creepy for me because I, like, know you personally. And, you know, so I had to retrieve my Twitter from that person. And then I was like, and then I immediately got addicted to Twitter. And I got sick. I got an ear infection. I was, like, bedridden on the couch. I couldn't go anywhere. So it was just, like, me and the computer. And I, like, got addicted to Twitter. And it was funny. Holly went to a convention, and all of our friends were like, is Cassie okay? She's just Twittering all the time. She's like, no, she's sick. That's why she's doing it. But now I've just kept doing it because I feel like it's a really great way to stay in touch with, like, my fans. I have a really, like, pretty clear idea of where they are, what they're doing, what their reactions are. Like, it's really good, you know?
Well, and it is addicting. Yeah. Especially when you're stuck at home. Like, you'll notice if you go back and look at my Twitter activity, it's, like, heavy during bedridden part of my pregnancy.
Right, exactly. You're just like, I can't go anywhere, so I'm just gonna tweet.
For months, everyone thought it was fine.
All right, ladies.
All right, yeah, I'm sorry. No, I just finished.
I know. I sound like a dork on there. Excuse my laughter. Excuse that. I totally didn't even really talk. If you noticed, I wasn't even... if it wasn't that I laughed in the interview, you wouldn't have known I was in that interview. Because I didn't know when to jump in, and we were in a small space, so I was actually standing while they both sat down. And at that time, there was such a rush, like a rush from the event, and we were sitting next to the books from the authors in the event, so it was really weird. Like, you can hear the people talking and stuff in the background because they're trying to grab the books around us for the event. So I know, and so yeah, that's just my interview, but still, it was my first. I wasn't ready, and I yeah. It's like, I'll be better in the future. But at least I hope it answers some of your ideas and questions. And of course, now you can follow her on Twitter. That's what we talked about, too. Well, that was the interview. And that was it from the event. There was a couple of things, though. Where'd it go? I'm trying to find my notebook of fun stuff. Okay, so anyway, Melissa Mara talked a little bit, and this is the only thing I can tell you, because I have a bunch of notes, but it's pretty much random stuff, like, would they rather, you know, be, you know, cake or pie, or something like that. I mean, seriously, that's what the questions were, cake or pie. And, of course, people were like, Holly said pie, and then they would ask random questions, like, when you see your characters, how do you view them? And some of you said they would view them by the stage, on stage, on their computer, within themselves, talking to them next to themselves. But they went through a few things like that. The only thing I could say is Melissa Marr, she's made this announcement. I'm not sure when it's gonna exactly how it's going to be announced, but Wicked Lovely, they're going to announce a movie in November. That's the newest thing. Like, she's touring, and I think she's telling her fans finally. But, yeah, we were the first ones she said. I think she said we were the first ones. But, yeah, they were going to make a Wicked Lovely movie. And I hope you guys are excited, because I would go see that, too. But anyways, that's a little bit of wrap-up of everything. I'll leave note. I have a whole notebook of random answers to questions people have asked them during the Q&A. If you didn't hear it in the audio, I'll probably put that on my blog, or yeah, I'll put it on my blog most likely. So if you want to check out later in the blog, I'll post up as soon as I can. Just go on my website. Just go to Tumblr, and Tumblr is my blog page right now. So I just like talk randomly, and on my, you should check that page really. Because I put stuff on there that even MuggleNet, for Harry Potter, MuggleNet has not even put up yet. I mean, seriously, I have a preview page from the new book coming out, from the making of the movie kind of book. Yeah, I have a preview page of that, and it's been there for like the last 2-3 months, and not until this month did they announce that book. So, just check it out. I've got new stuff. I usually post things on there and new things, things I've discovered, things I've found. Yeah, so continuing on, this is awesome. I had to actually get a wristband for this event because it was so packed. It was for Jamie Lee Curtis's book, My Mommy Hung the Moon, which is, you know, a kid's book or anything. It was really cute. It was about how the mom can, you know, pretty much do anything, which was hilariously funny. But the event, it was pretty cool. They went all out in this event. It was really cool. She walked in, of course, the kids only knew her from Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Seriously, it was funny, because they didn't know her from any other movie. They only knew her from that movie, and it didn't help that she came in trying to pretend to hide behind a book, and the book was about Chihuahuas. So, when she sat down, the kids would ask her Chihuahua questions instead of other questions. But it was really cute, because they were so tiny and a little cute. Trying to ask her questions, and she was really funny, and I got the audio from that, and I have a few pictures of that too, so I'll post that as soon as I can. They're on my phone, and on my phone it's kind of like stuck there for a while, so whenever I can get them out of my phone, I'll post them up on my website. That was fine. I got first row on the event, and I was the first person she signed her book for. Also, why is that? Because I got there so freaking early. Because I really want you guys to get the audio. And because of the audio from the last book event, so I wanted you guys to actually get a clear audio of what she's saying. And it actually helped that she's pretty loud. So I hope you enjoyed this. I'm going to play it finally.
Ladies and gentlemen, a number one New York Times best-selling author just hit yesterday with My Mummy Hung the Moon, Miss Jamie Lee Curtis. This is not a pimple. I woke up in the middle of the night scratching my face, and when I woke up this morning, there was evidence of me scratching my face on my pillow, and I went in the thing. I was like, what did I do to my face? It is not a pimple. I'm 52, I don't get pimples. And my daughter was like, Mom, you've got a zit. I was like, I don't have a zit. It's not a zit. It's not a pimple. I scratched my face. But I decided not to put on makeup over it because then it would infect it. And I'm traveling, and I thought, so if anybody here is going to, look, I've been on, I could have been on my face. I'm telling you, they really should bring other authors to do my work. I mean, they're probably a lot smoother about this stuff than I am. If you print a picture or Photoshop out my injury, not my zit. Who here knows what a zit is? What's a zit?
A thing on your face.
A thing on your face. And who gets zits?
I don't know.
Teenagers. Yeah. Teenagers. That's their job. Their job is not to wash a lot and to get zits. I actually wrote a book called Meenagers.
Hi everybody, and for those in the back, if you want to come forward, if you have a child, please do. Obviously, you know who I am. Hard to tell. My name is Jamie. Really happy to be here. Thrilled, in fact, to be here in Texas. I got off the plane and they took me to a place, a town called Market Street. Now, for those of you who've never been there, it's its own environment. And they only gave me like a half an hour to shop. I called all my friends. I was overwhelmed. So Texas has been very welcoming so far. It's warm, it's beautiful. There are big white ponies outside of town. We do not have this in Santa Monica, California. It's gray, it's misty. People wear clothes. I even bought shoes because guess what I wore? Clogs. And I felt, I can't wear clogs in Texas. They're going to know I'm from Santa Monica. Obviously, we're here because I've written a book. But who already? Who knows what other job I do besides writing books?
Yes. You're an actor. You're a rep.
That's
coming in. You're
going to talk to me.
She's doing my promotion for me. I'm an actor and I'm coming out in a new movie called You Again in 2 weeks, which is really cute, by the way. But I'm not here to talk about my movie, although it's very cute. And women would like it because it's about high school enemies. Marry into your family. It's fun. So what does an actor do?
Act.
Young woman in the back. Right, and is an actor playing themselves or are they playing a part?
They're playing a part.
So, for instance, in the movie that these young people in the front here know, Beverly Hills Chihuahua. My name is Jamie, but the woman I was pretending to be is named Auntie Bib. So I'm pretending when I'm an actor, right? I'm not really Auntie Bib, and I don't really have Chihuahuas, although I like them. So, if an actor pretends to be something, I'm an actor, but then what does a writer do? Yes?
They write the books.
They write the books, and they come up with the ideas for the book. Yes. So here I'm not acting. I'm not pretending to be somebody else. I actually get to be me. It's unbelievably free, because as you can tell, I'm kind of a ham. And it's so much more fun to be me and actually talk about my ideas rather than pretending to be Auntie Viv and talk about her chihuahuas. Although I like that job, and it's been a lot of fun. So, I get to write books now. Now, I'm a regular person. I went to school. I did poorly in school. I tried. I was not a great student. I am the classic underachiever. So how did I become a writer? How is it possible that I get the introduction that I am a, not to brag, but we're kind of excited, number one New York Times bestselling author for children's books. How is that possible? No, how is it possible for a girl that got 840 combined on her SATs? Combined. And the way it happened is I was an actor, I was a pretender. Right? I was a pretender. I was pretending to be other people, and that's what my job was. And I got married to a pretender, and we had a daughter. Her name is Annie. She's little. And when literally in my house, I was sitting at my desk, in my office, in my house, not in Santa Monica, where I was not wearing clogs. It was sort of South Beverly Hills, and I had a little heel on. Anyway, literally, this is how this happened. I promise you. What is that when you do this? Cross my heart. Right, okay. So, I crossed my heart. This is how it happened. My four-year-old daughter, who looked something like you, beautiful blonde, cherubic little four-year-old girl, walked in my office and literally went like this.
When I was little, I want that personality as a body!
She walked out of the room, and I remember laughing like you, thinking that was just adorable, because what she was telling me is that she had a past. That this was like back in the day. She was poor. Like we look back at bell bottoms and shags. She was saying, back in the good old days, I wore diapers, but now, in the modern world, I... And it made me laugh, and I literally wrote on a piece of paper when I was a little four-year-old memoir of her youth. Made me laugh out loud, and I wrote a list, didn't know what it was, and at the end of the list, it made me cry, and at the end of the list, I realized I'd written a book. I had no plan of writing a book, I never dreamt about writing a book, never thought I'd write a book, I didn't know what to do with the book, I didn't know it was a book. Until I finished it. And they're like, oh, I think I gave you a book for children. And I called the only literary agent I knew, who was my mother-in-law's best friend in New York City. I called her up, I said, I think I've written a book. She said, send it to me. And I faxed it to her. Now, you guys all know about iPhones. Do you remember the first time you ever faxed something? When you put that piece of paper in and it came out the other end? In New York City. That was mind blowing. That's how it happened. She thought, she said, I love this. She said, what do you want to do with it? I said, there was a book that my daughter Annie loved called Annie Banani. It was illustrated by a woman named Laura Cornell. And let's send it to those people because I want her to draw the pictures. And that's how I became an author. I never thought about it. It happened that day. She sent it to them. They bought it. Boom. 2 years later, I had a book in my hands. That's how I became an author. So now over these years, I've now written 9 books for children. I never thought I'd write any of these books. I never had a plan to write any of these books. Not one of them was living in my head. They all came out like this. Like I would be sitting around and all of a sudden I'd go, done. I wish I could tell you I agonize. I wish I could tell you. Oh, what? My microphone? I think they can. Did I turn it off? I think you guys can hear me pretty well.
Don't sit down, though.
We can hear over here.
Look at us. We're women with technology.
Don't sit down, though. She spilled the water.
Well, now she... This must have been invented by a man. I'll just hold it. This is ridiculous. I'll just hold it. So anyway, that's how this happened. Just to give you the background of why I'm standing in front of you, me, in Houston, today, I'm doing it because that's how these books have come out of me. The fact that they sell, totally a big surprise to me. I'm being honest, it's really important you know me. I did not do this to get famous. I did not think that it would make me famous. I did not think for 1 second that people would buy them. Literally, I had no concept. I did nothing. I know. Hold it down. Wait for the green. I'm telling you, we can figure this out. Maybe the battery. Because it's not going green anymore. I'm going to give this up and let you guys figure it out.
So anyway, you can hear me pretty much, yeah?
Yeah!
I know you guys can, but the people in the back can, and if you can't, ask someone, they'll tell you. It's important you know that, because I know it looks like actors do this to get famous, and it looks like actors write books so that they'll get more famous. Not my case. I did not know that would happen. It only has happened out of the good graces of your support. I did not anticipate it. I did not know what happened, and I am just floored by it every time it happens. I don't do this to make my living. I do this because it's the thing I do that pops out of my head. And it's the only thing that I do that pops out of my head. And the fact that I get to do something that pops out of my head is called art. Not because I named it, because that's what art is. It's something inside your head. You bring it to the world, whatever form it takes, photography, painting, sculpture, balloon art, drawings, anything that is a creative impulse out of your head is called art. And this is mine, and I never thought in the world I'd have it, and I'm thrilled. So, that's how I became an actor, a writer. I will read my book, but before I do, is there anything I can answer for anybody before we read? Yes, young sparkly beauty in front. I know. I grew up with those books called Little Golden Books, where everybody was blonde and cherubic, and nothing was out of place, and that is not how life is. Life is messy. Not over in Marketplace, by the way. It is very clean over there. But life is messy, and I love the fact that she draws people the way I see them. So that's how, I do not draw the pictures, because you would not buy a book that was drawn looking like that. So thank you for your question. Yes?
When I was little, was that because of your daughter with the potty training? Was that,
Exactly. When I was little was my first book, because what I was thinking about was how funny it was that she was a baby and now she was a big girl, but she was four. I've been just given a fabulous suggestion that I'm supposed to go to Red Mango. A 60-calorie drink made with some lovely fruits and frozen things.
It's a good suggestion.
And when I'm finished here, I will. Or someone might bring me one. I'm slaving away here. Writing books, signing books. Anyway, thank you for that suggestion. Any other questions by anybody? Yes. I have two children. I have a daughter named Annie who was once 4 and is now 24. That's how long I've been writing books. Who can do the math?
20 years.
Thank you. Well, let's go stand up. This girl is going to college. This young woman is going to college. I just want you all to know that now. If you want to start applying early, they do, what grade are you in? They do a 6th grade admission, I think. Any other questions? Adults, yes?
Do you have any other books in the works?
Funny enough, you know, I do. I end up doing a book every 2 years now. It's how we do it. My next book, I believe, was going to be Meenagers. It's going to be a book about a little girl whose sister changed. You know, they were best friends, and then the sister went through the change. I'm not sure we're going to make that the next book. I think that's an older book. I think that's more like a graphic novel. I actually think it needs to be a book for teenagers rather than a book for young kids. But it's really funny, and it's a very funny social observation about teenagers. What's one? Hold on. Oh, I can't even. Anyway, that's funny. I think the next book is going to be a book about first graders. I think it's going to be a book called Frankie's First. Because the summer between kindergarten and first grade is like a pomegranate cracking open. These kids just, what they couldn't do a year ago, now they can do. Riding bikes, jumping ropes, tubing behind their parents' boat, all the things that they were too young to do that they can do now. So I think it's going to be a book about firsts, about doing things for the first time. So I'm really excited about it. We're just starting work on it. But that's like the first, I've never said that to anybody yet. That is the first time I've ever said that.
Any
other questions about Friday?
This young man.
What's it like being an actress? You're looking at it. People look at your zips and they make comments about it. You get a lot of attention, and I can't tell you it's hard work, because it's not hard work for me. The hours are really, 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 really long. So when you're actually doing something like a TV show or a movie, the hours are really tough. And they're very, very, very tough on a family. Because the mommy is often leaving home at 4 o'clock in the morning to get to work by 6, to be fully made up, to be working by 7, and doesn't get home sometimes till 8 o'clock at night. Now, there are other jobs that do the same thing, that don't get the same amount of attention. So I don't think it's hard work, but it is time-consuming work, and it can wreak havoc on your personal life. I got lucky. It didn't. 3 more questions, and they're right in front of you.
How long have you been an actress?
I've been an actress since I was 19 or 18 years old, and
I just also fell into that. I won't tell you that story, but I literally fell into it. My guy used to teach tennis to me. All of a sudden was managing actresses and said they were looking for Nancy Drew and did I want to go up for it. I was home from college at Christmas. He said, you'd be a good Nancy Drew. I said, oh, okay. And I auditioned for it, didn't get it, and then I became an actress. Yes. My little chihuahua?
No, the puppy.
The puppy? One day wearing a little thong, he goes, hold your tacos. Is that right? No. By the way, important bit of information, Poppy is a rescue.
Oh, that's cool.
They found Poppy at a rescue and rescued that little chihuahua and trained him to be a movie star. So it's a great story of adoption for all animals. They found little Poppy in a And then just something that none of you know, they cast Chloe, the little white chihuahua, because she had a little pink nose. You know, they thought, oh, you have to understand, there are no doubles for these dogs. They have what they call photo doubles, which are for like if it's from far, far away, you can put in another little white chihuahua. But for 95% of that movie, over 5 months, that those two dogs were the dog. Can you imagine the insurance? They got down to Mexico where we made the movie, and her nose turned black in a week because her little pink nose in the Mexican sun naturally went black to protect it. So they cast her for this little pink nose because they thought she'd have a little pink nose, and her little nose went black in Mexico. They all were a little surprised. Last question from Jennifer. Not Jennifer, that's your mommy's name. Sorry.
It's okay,
not
Sicily.
Yeah. All right, my daughter, as you may know, is named Annie because I talked about her and she was little. I also have a son, his name is Tom. And Tom was the boy who gave birth to the book, It's Hard to Be Five, Learning How to Work My Control Panel. And that book was born by my son, Tom, who's now 14. When he came home one day, we were at home, and I was in the kitchen, and he was in the playroom, and he was building a wooden block structure, you know, the way you can build towers. And he built this tower, and it had gotten up really, really high. I remember coming in a couple times going, wow. And then I went in the kitchen, and I heard a big crash. And I walked into the room, and Tom was standing there, the way you are, stunned that this thing had crashed. And he was sort of standing there like this. And I said, oh, Tom, oh, buddy, your tower fell. And he went like this. And then I said, oh, man, and you had really gotten it high. I mean, it was as high as my chest, wasn't it? And he went like this. And then I said, and then you got it right up to the top, and right when you got it to the top, it fell over, and he went like this. And then the mommies, we can go in there, we find the needle in the haystack, and I looked at him and I said, it's hard to be five, isn't it? I mean, it was like popping a pimple, which I didn't do. You know, boom, it all came pouring out because it's hard to work that control panel when you're 5 years old. And that's how that book was born, by my beautiful son, Tommy. This beautiful book is about mommies. Mother love. It is a big mother love fest.
like a big estrogen festival. What do mommies do?
Protect you.
Ooh!
Oh! Oh, that's a good
another
one.
College graduate. What is your name?
Taylor
just said they protect you. Okay? I can go home now. They protect you.
They teach you.
They feed you.
I forgot.
They buy you stuff. He's gonna walk it straight.
Yes, over there? What is
they cook.
Do?
They cook.
They cook the food. Couple more. They help
you.
They
did good.
You. They take you to school.
It's purple.
They
boss you. What's the good drill, Sergeant? Oh, yes, Sergeant. Yes, Mother. They take you to school. So you get the idea.
You wouldn't be alive without them.
You wouldn't. You wouldn't be alive without them.
You okay?
Yeah.
Yes. There is something very special that happens when a mother looks at a child. And it doesn't matter if that mother has given birth to that child. It doesn't matter if that mother finds that child. It doesn't matter how the contact occurs. Once that occurs, something is forever changed in both of those people. This is my honoring of that moment in a person's life. I appreciate fathers. This sweet one back there has been standing there laughing. He's got some glasses on his head. I'm sure you were dragged here by some woman. And I appreciate that you came. And my guess is you'll download some picture of me from Perfect. And it won't have been so bad. But this
is good
about
book, boy.
The mommies.
That's a great
and
book.
It is a book dedicated
to my I've been reading it since
Lee,
school year started.
And all my mom.
It's hard.
My
I mean, I have to finish it by this week, actually.
So, I've taught more than my mama taught me. My girlfriends are my mommies. I've learned everything I know about being a mother, a wife, a cook, a teacher, a house cleaner. And if you've looked at Good Housekeeping, you know I can clean house. And if you haven't, check it out in the magazine stand while you're waiting in line. I speed skate on the floor in my kitchen with wet rags on my feet to mop my floor. This one woman just in the back way. Really?
They drive you.
I'm sorry?
The mothers drive you.
They drive you. Well, you're about to hear what I think mommies do. Yes.
Adopted.
That's right. Both of my children are adopted.
My brothers were adopted a long time ago.
A long time ago, when they were very little?
Yeah.
Yeah. I even wrote a book about that. It's called Tell Me Again About the Night I Was Born, which is a beautiful book about how families are built through adoption. But this book, called My Mommy Hung the Moon, a love story, and I'm going to read it to you now, and then I want to get to the table so we can start signing. I promise it'll be fast. There are cookies and balloons and things to entertain you, and a lot of books to read, apparently. So if you have a minute, pick up another book. And I'm going to try to do the pictures and the story all at the same time. Watch this. Ready? My mommy hung the moon. She tied it with string. My mommy's good at everything. She lit up the sun so bright and so round. She puffed out each cloud, stretched trees from the ground. I know, it's hard. Go grab the book and then look at it after. When she pours down rain so it's wet and dark, I climb up on her like she's Noah's Ark. She zaps out the thunder and makes lightning glow Then crayons for me, a giant rainbow. She feathered the birds. She taught them to chirp. She taught me to speak, my cousin to burp. Can anybody burp? Children don't know what a burp is. It's good. It's important. Okay. Nobody look at her. Shh. Nobody's looking. See if you can pull it out. That was a market street burp. She grows all the food. She makes it from scratch. And when she bakes me cookies, it's a big mama batch. She writes all the books. She made me TV. She drew every tune, boxed all DVDs. She webbed all the world, she dotted .com, she e'd the email, my own CD mom. My mommy's the boss, she drives in the pool. She cures all the sick, she works every tool. She zooms in the car and boy it goes fast, and those rocket ships, guess who made them blast? Did you want me to burp? That was good. That was awesome. By the way, if you ever look at this image, you know, this child thinks the mommy is just whipping it on the freeway. Obviously, the people around her do not agree with him. They're very, very cranky because I think she's going a little slower. She flies all the planes. She rows all the ships. She made my new kite do spins and backflips. She molds every ball, carves rackets and bats, and stealing the bases, she's way good at that. All the men are like, really? The daddy down back there's going, I can steal bases. She buzzed every bee. She spun every spider. She growled every bear. She striped every tiger. My mommy makes music, and boy, can she rock. While we hip and hop, my mommy moonwalks. She rules the whole world from her throne. She's my queen. My mommy is nice. She never is mean. She pours all the seas and sparkles each star. And then she collects one in my nightlight jar. And when she paints night so jet black and deep, my mothership rocks me gently to sleep. And I dream about how she gave me my start. I love my mommy with all my heart. Then when I'm asleep, all safe in my nest, my mommy works hard and does all the rest. My mommy hung the moon. She tied it with string. My mommy is good at everything. So, there are some very bossy women who are about to boss you around. I am not going to boss you around. I am merely going to go get the knife. Watch this.
If everyone will take
Peter,
children, will you get to your parents, please? Everybody else, stay seated. I'm going to go to the next one.
so much for coming. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Oh my gosh, that was kind of cool. I forgot at the end. I left it recording. Why wouldn't it? So anyway, you heard her say my name. I'm like, yay! Yeah, anyway, that was a really quick. It's great to be the first person, because when you go in, you're like the first one to go out and not have to wait in line like the other event. Because the other event, I had to wait in line for about 4 hours for that event. Because we were the last in line, because I had to get in a spot where I could try to record the audio from that event, and it didn't work out. So, yeah, this one was pretty cool. So, I hope you enjoyed that all. There's a lot of stuff to come. A couple of new interviews. I'm still working on some of the ones I talked about before. I still haven't gotten around to some of them. Because we have, you know, schedules that totally don't work with each other. So, I'll get some of those soon. And actually, well, I'm going to have an actual special podcast coming out tomorrow, I think. Actually, it's going to be recorded tomorrow and probably come out the next day. Possibly the very same day, but most likely the next day. Because tomorrow is the new trailer for Harry Potter. And with that, I am going to actually have a discussion podcast with some other Harry Potter fans, and we're going to go through that video and watch it and discuss it and also view it by MuggleNet and Leaky Cauldron's standpoint on it and see how that goes and see if you like our opinion on it, and we'll post it up in the next few days and hope you enjoy that too, and I'll talk about that more later on, you know, next episode. So, and to make up for this episode, which took forever to release, I'll give you two instead of one in this 1 week. If you have any questions or suggestions, just shoot me a comment on my website. You can fill out a form. Or if you want to email me directly, you can email me at besthpfan@yahoo.com. You know, BSTHPFAN. You know the deal. So anyway, just shoot me an email or anything. I'll be actually covering a lot of stuff soon, this coming upcoming month. I'll be going to an anime convention, and with that, I'll get to maybe possibly talk to. I'll be in panels with Greg Ayers and some other voice actors from anime, and see how that goes. And also, I just got, now I'm on a blog, convention fan blog, about different convention fandoms. So now I get to be sent to go to cons when I want to, and I'll cover in their website, which I'll put the website in the details also, so you can check out that fan site. It's a blog about conventions for fandom, and you can check their website and also check me when I start doing stuff for them. And so, I think that wraps it up. It's a good day, and I think this is a, you know, pretty well episode. I mean, seriously, got some good interviews, you know, some audio. I mean, it's no Harry Potter panel interview, but, you know, panel info and audio. But still, I hope to cover things you like. I'll try to get as much as I can. And I hope to see you guys next time on episode 5. Wow, 5? 5, which is HP Discussion, which, of course, HP's cool. But yeah, I know there's a lot more than just HP, but still. I'll be covering a lot of things, and I'll talk to you guys next time. See ya.